I wish that some of you could feel what I feel to work with an incredible staff here at Providence. And the volunteers here are amazing. And so I come to work just excited to do this great work. I want to read in your hearing 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. I think I want to read it from here, so if you go ahead and post it. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All of this is from God, who reconciled to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. I'm waiting for it to stand still. So we are ambassadors for Christ, and since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading, the hearing of God's holy word. May it sink deep down and bring forth much fruit. The word of God for the people of God. I was struck by a story that I came across. And it was of an older woman on the side of the road. Her car had broken down or something was wrong with the vehicle. But car after car passed her, and no one stopped. But there was a gentleman, and he saw the car, and he decided to stop his truck right next to her Mercedes. And when he got out, he kind of looked a little rough. He had a beard like this. And his hands were dirty. He worked on cars, and he wasn't dressed like he was ready to go somewhere. He was dressed like he came from work. And the little old lady was a little startled by his presence. And he said, "Ma'am," he says, I come in peace. I just come to help you." He says, "I can see that you look like you've been out here for a while." He says, I just want to help fix your car." And he says, what's going on?" So she showed him around the other side that there was a flat tire, and he says, "Let me work on it for you." So he fixed the flat, and while he was fixing the flat, he hurt his hand, but he continued to fix it. And the old lady said, "I can't believe that you stopped and helped me and got underneath the car." She said, "What do I owe you?" And he smiled, and he said, "Ma'am," he said, "my name is Brian Anderson. You don't owe me anything. But if you want to pay me back, the next time you see someone in need, thank God and remember me." And she said, "Okay," and she went on her way, and he went on his way. A little while down the road, she decided to pull off and to get something to eat, and she stopped at this cafe, a little dingy kind of place. And she noticed that the waitress was pregnant, drying her face from the sweat. And she ordered food and she had something to eat. And afterwards, she gave her $100 bill to pay the bill. And when the waitress went to cash out, the old lady had left. And she came back to the table and she noticed the napkin that said, "You don't owe me anything. But if you want to pay me back, thank God and remember Brian Anderson." And when the lady lifted up the napkin, there was four more $100 bills. And she couldn't believe it that someone would be so generous and someone would be so kind. And she went home, and as she's driving home, she says, "How did that lady know that I needed this help? How did she know that my husband was out of work and that we would need this money?" And she came home and she says, "Honey, I just want to tell you what happened today. This little old lady came in and she just blessed us." And she showed him the money. And he says, "What do we do to say thank you?" The old lady says, "Thank God and let's pray for Brian Anderson." You see, Brian Anderson was an ambassador for God. You can be an ambassador too. Amen? God is calling all of us to do a great work. So let us pray. Most gracious God, we love you. We thank you for this day. We ask, Lord, that you would come and speak to us in a way that we might be transformed by your Holy Spirit. Dear God, I pray that you would hide this preacher behind the cross, that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I want to challenge your thinking this morning with the thought, be an ambassador for Christ. Be an ambassador for Christ. This is going to be a short message, but I want you to hear these points. And the first point is that ambassadors are found and they become new creations in Christ. The second point is that ambassadors are chosen. And lastly, we can all become an ambassador. So often, I like to tell stories about myself or an experience that I had, but today I'm not going to do that. What I want you to do is I want you to hear the life of the Apostle Paul. And perhaps from his life, we can learn what it means to be an ambassador of Christ. You must remember the Apostle Paul, whose name was Saul, was persecuting the Christian community. He even went to the high priest and got a letter to take that letter to different cities. And anybody who was a follower of Christ, a follower of the way, he would bring them back to Jerusalem so that they would be persecuted, arrested, imprisoned. And this was his job. And the Apostle Paul was seen as a violent man, a merciless person. And when I thought about the Apostle Paul, I thought about sometimes, like even in today, in modern day, when we want to live our life the way that we want to live our lives. We want to do our own thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But one of the problems that the Apostle Paul had was he didn't understand divine scrutiny. That God sees all and that he knows all. How many of you know we don't get away with anything? He sees it all and he knows it all. Robert Foster said it this way: if certain chambers of our heart have never experienced God's healing touch, perhaps it's because we have never welcomed divine scrutiny. One of the pivotal passages about the life of Paul is in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22. And it talks about Paul being on this road headed to Damascus. And he had an encounter with the living God. A light had shone about him, sort of blinding him. He fell off his horse and he heard this voice. Remember, his name was Saul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you, Lord? Jesus spoke clearly, very directly. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Why are you persecuting me? Saul was blinded, something like scales on his eyes. His friends had to help him up. And they went on to Damascus. Saul remembered that there was a man named Ananias who was to come and help him. And then God spoke to Ananias and said, there's a man by the name of Saul. And he says, I want you to go and I want you to touch him and heal him. Notice what Ananias says. Lord, are you sure? I mean, you know who this guy is? This guy persecutes Christians. Hold on, son, stop. This guy persecutes Christians. He's killed them. He watched Stephen get stoned. I mean, are you sure? Has there ever been a time in your life where you think God needs your help? Anybody? But notice what God says. He says, Saul is my chosen instrument. I'm going to use Saul to bring my message to the Gentiles, to the Jews, to the children of Israel. You go. And so Ananias goes. He meets Saul. He shares with Saul this vision that God had given him. He lays hands on him. He prays for him. Scripture says Saul received the Holy Spirit. He was baptized in the Lord. The scales fell off his eyes. And he immediately went into the synagogues, preaching Jesus Christ, the one whom he was persecuting. Immediately, he went declaring the love of God, the grace of God. Paul was so struck by the fact that God would choose him. So struck by the fact that God would forgive him. That God would love him and give him meaning and purpose. Scripture says that Paul was called a madman because he went through any lengths to share the gospel with someone else. He didn't even care if it was at his own peril. He went, and he just wanted people to know that you can be reconciled to God, that God would forgive you. I don't care what it is, and that God wants to be in relationship with you. Isn't that a great message to share? What messages do we share when we leave this place with other people? Are we talking about the Golden State Warriors, the Cavaliers? What are we talking about when we leave this place? Are we sharing with the least, the lost, and the forgotten that God has a plan and a purpose for their life, that they can be reconciled to God? What a great message. It's life-changing if we can get it down into our spirit. And this is what Paul did. My friends, remember, Paul's life was governed by the love of God. And he went on to do great things. He wrote much of the New Testament. He wrote Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, Ephesians, Thessalonians, Philemon, Colossians, Timothy, and Titus, And much of the book of Acts is dedicated to him. What are we doing with that grace that's been given to us? What do we do with the love that's been given to us to be reconciled to God? Sinners that we are, reconciled to a holy God. What are we doing with that grace? Paul would tell us that the same grace that's been extended to us, we need to extend it to others. When I looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, Paul likened himself to that of an ambassador. And he says, you should see yourself as an ambassador. Susan, your message was so good. And I was looking at what it is to be an ambassador. It's a respected official acting as a representative of a nation, sent to a foreign land. And the ambassador's role is to reflect the official position of the sovereign body that gave them the authority. Paul is saying, we're in the world, but we're not of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of this world. And the grace that's been given to us comes from God. And we are to extend it to all of the world, letting them know that we serve a loving God, a gracious God, a God who wants to be reconciled, a God who wants to be in relationship with us. No matter what you've done, he loves you. That's hard to get our minds around, because God says, I love you, period. No comma, no semicolon. I love you, period. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. How about that? I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. What a message we can give to the world who needs to hear a message of hope, a message of love. And the Apostle Paul says, this is the message that we are to give to the world. Why is this important? The Great Commission says, go into all of the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's our mission, to go into all of the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Notice he didn't say make Christians. For those of you who were at our class on Wednesday, we were watching Andy Stanley. And Andy Stanley brought out something I didn't know. He says the word Christian is only found three places in the Bible. And it was always noted as a derogatory term of what people called the disciples. They never called themselves Christian. They called themselves disciples. And he says, all of the law that Jesus was talking about, all of the law, all of the Ten Commandments, all of his teaching can be summed up like this. Love one another. They'll know that you're my disciples if you love one another. My friends, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are an ambassador. If you've called upon the name of the Lord and asked him to forgive you of your sins, you are an ambassador for Christ. Some of us were baptized even as infants, but if you look at our baptismal covenant, and I want you to look at the United Methodist hymnal, and when you look at that covenant, we deny ourselves of sin and we invite Christ into our lives. And then we said that we would live for him and that we would proclaim his truth. What is his truth? That he loves us and that he loves the world. That's hard to get our minds around, isn't it? But let's say it together. John 3:16. For God so loved the that he gave his only, that whosoever believed in should not but have what? Should have what? Should have what? Amen. Let us pray. Would you join hands with the person next to you? Most gracious God, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, because you first loved us when we didn't even know the way. You provided a way. Lord, we don't know why you love us the way you do, but it's just amazing to be loved by you like this. Father, I pray today that we would take that love and that grace that you have given to us, and that you would help us to extend it to all the world. I pray it to be so in Jesus' name. Amen.